Let's read together Revelation chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the letters or messages to the final three churches of Asia. The message to the church at Sardis, the message to the church at Philadelphia, and the message to the church at Laodicea. Let's begin by reading the message to the church at Sardis in verses 1 through 6. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let's begin our study of Revelation chapter 3 with some background notes. We've seen that chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation contain seven letters or messages to seven churches of the first century Roman province of Asia. Each letter was addressed to the angel of that particular church. The seven angels may refer to special guardian angels appointed to specifically protect each of the churches, but probably the reference is not to guardian angels. The word angel literally means one sent with a message, and so it can be translated messenger. So most likely, these letters are specifically addressed to the human leaders of these seven local churches. Now, we've seen that each of these seven first century letters has an enduring message for all churches in every age and has plenty of practical application as well. The first letter to Ephesus is a message for the church that has left its first love. The second letter to Smyrna is a message for the persecuted church. The third letter to Pergamum is a message for the compromising church. And the fourth letter to Thyatira is a message for the church that tolerates false doctrine. Now here in Revelation chapter 3, we have the fifth, sixth, and seventh letters to the churches of Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, respectively. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Revelation chapter 3. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, the church at Sardis represents the lifeless church. The church at Sardis represents the lifeless church. Sardis was a wealthy city and capital of the region of Lydia. You know, there are some magnificent ruins to be seen in ancient Sardis today. And in the excavations, the remains of a first century church have been found. The church at Sardis was rebuked for being lifeless. Now, the point is not that there were no true believers there, but that they were no longer vibrant. Let me ask you, do you know any churches or Christians like that today? They are orthodox in their doctrine, but they are no longer joyful and vibrant. They are stagnant and cold and lifeless in their walk of faith. Well, this is what happened to the post-Reformation state churches. They were characterized by a condition of dead orthodoxy. It can happen to individual Christians as well, including you and me. So how do we keep such a condition from happening to us and our churches? Well, the answer is right here. Wake up and strengthen what remains. Verse 2. This is done by Bible study and prayer and fellowship and Christian service. Remember the truth you received and repent. Verse 3. Walk in righteousness. Verse 4. Those who overcome will be rewarded with white garments. That is the reward for righteous living. And they can be sure that their names will not be erased from the book of life. Verse 5. Now, if this was the only verse in the Bible dealing with salvation, I would have to say that the implication seems to be that there will be some who will lose their salvation and have their names erased from the book of life. However, this verse does not actually say that, and many other scriptures indicate the eternal security of the believer. That is, once saved, always saved. So this verse is confirmation of both sides of the great truth of the perseverance of the saints. True believers will persevere and overcome, and those who persevere and overcome are true believers. Let's wake up and show life and get active. The church of Sardis represents the lifeless church. Doctrinal point number two. The church at Philadelphia represents the faithful church. The church at Philadelphia represents the faithful church. Verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, only two of the seven churches received no rebuke from the Lord. What are the two churches? Smyrna, the persecuted church, and Philadelphia, the faithful church. Notice, the believers at Philadelphia had kept the Lord's word and had not denied his name. Verse 8. What a great testimony. Can that be said of each one of us? That's what it means to be faithful, to keep the word of the Lord and not deny his name. The Lord told the church of Philadelphia that he was putting an open door of opportunity before them, and no one could shut that door because he had the key. Even the radical Judaizers, called the synagogue of Satan here, could not stop the work of the Lord, and someday they would acknowledge that God was on the side of the Christians. The promise of the open door of opportunity has motivated Christians and ministries and individual Christians to serve the Lord around the world. Don't miss your open door of opportunity that the Lord sets before you. In verses 10 through 12, a promise is made to these faithful believers that they would be kept from the great time of trouble that would come upon the whole world in the future, verse 10, and that they would be given a place of honor in the New Jerusalem of the future, verse 12. We believe this is a prophetic promise that the church will be kept out of the tribulation period of the future and will be rewarded in Christ's future kingdom here on this earth. The church at Philadelphia represents the faithful church. And doctrinal point number three, the church at Laodicea represents the lukewarm church. The church at Laodicea represents the lukewarm church. Verses 14 through 22. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There are three things about the first century town of Laodicea that the Lord draws on here in his message to the church at Laodicea. Number one, Laodicea was known for making a certain medicinal eye salve. The Laodiceans were rebuked for being blind, verses 17 and 18. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Number two, Laodicea was also known for producing an expensive cloth for garments. The Laodiceans, as we see, are rebuked for being naked, verses 17 and 18. And number three, Laodicea got its water supply from nearby Hierapolis, from both hot water and cold water springs. The water came by large hot water and cold water ceramic pipes that can still be seen in the ruins today. But by the time the water got to Laodicea, the hot water was not hot and the cold water was not cold. It was lukewarm. The Laodiceans were rebuked for being lukewarm. Verse 16. What a description we have here of a large portion of the professing Christian church today. Apathetic, half-hearted, unconcerned, indifferent, lukewarm. The Lord will spit out of his mouth such proud, complacent churches. The true believers are exhorted to live righteously and find their sufficiency in close communion with Christ. That's the meaning of verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Verse 20. Now, this verse can be applied to salvation, but the context is fellowship. Let me ask you, do you have communion and fellowship with the Lord each day? The church at Laodicea represents the lukewarm church. What about practical application? Don't just attend church. Don't just attend church. Do you just attend church? Or are you a vital member of your church? To just attend church is not a biblical position. Notice that in all seven letters, it was expected that those hearing the letters would get active and be involved. Hold on to what you have and strengthen what remains. What an exhortation for us. Don't just attend church.